Fun one today. We have Connor Colby on the show out of Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Hawkeye through and through. Got offered by multiple other schools and said, no, I'm going to the black and gold. Third lineman of this outgoing class after Richmond and Ellsbury. We've had those two on the show. Man, a few words. I had to work a little bit harder to try and pull answers out of Connor today, but damn, this guy loves football. He just wants to go hit people. He's excited for the NFL opportunity, and you get to hear about all that. Let's have a day. Let's go. Washed Up Walk-Ons podcast with another one of the I feel like you guys are endless, Connor, this year with the linemen. It's unbelievable. Ellsbury, Richmond, and now we got you. It's like it's the trifecta. Connor Colby joins the show. Just a stacked class. You guys have been through a lot the last 4 years. And I just saw on your biography the second most starts in the KF era, only behind your buddy Mason. So that says a lot about you guys and sort of the career you guys had. Welcome to the show, man.
Yeah, thank you guys. Thanks for having me.
What's life like right now? Just training?
Yeah, it's actually kind of pretty boring in my opinion. I just work out at 11 and then I have to fill my day doing just random stuff.
What hobbies fill that time?
Well, recently I've been selling all the furniture in the basement, getting ready to move. So
Facebook Marketplace?
Yeah, I don't even have a couch anymore. It's just a lawn chair. So
you're literally that meme of like, this is all guys need, and it's like a TV on a pizza box and one lawn chair.
Yeah, that's kind of how it's looking right now.
Is it weird to pack up the Iowa City apartment or house and kind of be moving on after 4 years?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I didn't realize how much like crap I accumulated in just 3 years of living in a house, but it's definitely been a lot. So. Just been trying to sell crap left and right.
What about from like the, are you like a sentimental, like emotional guy? You look back on like, as you start to see stuff go out the door, you're like, oh, the memories, like a.
No, I'm kind of.
You're not?
There's a lot of stuff. It's better. It's going somewhere else.
Oh man. So it's just been 11 o'clock workouts this spring and that's it.
Yeah. Yep.
Where are you working out?
I was working out in Tampa before Tampa. The combine, and then I've just been training back at Iowa. So
how did Tampa happen?
Well, it's just kind of where my agent wanted to send me. Okay. So, yeah.
What's the is that a weird process getting an agent?
It's not. I didn't say think it was too bad. I mean, I made my dad kind of filter through a lot of them, just so I didn't have to, you know, take meetings with everyone that I met with three different people, and you know, made my decision off of that.
Is that something that the filtering process, I imagine, has to start. It has to start during the season almost, but like you're trying to focus on playing. So I imagine that's why maybe you pass that off to your dad and you're like, hey, you take care of these for now. Cause I'm not.
He's got more time than me, especially during the season. So, you know, it's good for him to talk to people.
That's funny. Was there anything specific when choosing an agent that you were like, I'd like this to be why I choose somebody, or is it just a feeling thing?
I don't know. For me, it's just kind of more of a gut feeling thing. You know, I mean, I don't want to talk bad on anyone, but you know, sometimes they say stuff you don't like to hear, and then,
yeah,
you know, kind of go in a different direction from that.
The agents right now, there's been a lot of basketball discussion over the last couple of weeks, obviously with all the new coach and NCAA tournament. And it sounds like the NIL agents and beyond are sort of ruining the game of college basketball right now. And there's a little bit of that in college football too. Cause now with NIL and all the stuff, it's like a bit of a wild west.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I never had one of those NIL agents or anything like that. I was just happy to be playing for the Hawkeyes. That was my dream growing up. I didn't really care about the money. So
is it weird? Was it weird though to come in? So you came in 21.
Yeah, that January of 21.
Oh, you're an early enrollee.
Yep.
Didn't need prom the senior year.
I went and took pictures. That was it. I wasn't going to the dance. That's not really my style.
That's a classic lineman move. Right?
Yeah.
Just take the picks. The offensive line at the prom I feel like it's either they are the guy or they're just not going to be there.
Yeah. I don't think it wasn't even like at the school. They had it at some like place in downtown Cedar Rapids, cause they technically like couldn't have it at the school.
Oh, all right. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Came in 21, and you mentioned how it was your dream to play for the Hawkeyes. I think that's pretty backed up with, you know, you type in Connor Colby recruit into the Google machine. It spits out the 247 profile, shows who you were offered by, which is fun for me to kind of go back, because in recruiting nowadays, it's hard for anybody on the outside to like really buy in until someone plays for a team. You know, you know, with transfer portal and everything, like who knows if they're going to end up at the actual school they say they're going to commit to. Was it always Iowa? That was the dream.
Yeah, so I think Iowa was my second offer. Like, I think it was the second semester, like my sophomore year of high school. And then, you know, all the rest of them followed that. Because, you know, after Iowa offers an offensive lineman, everyone kind of hops on board after that. And then, I went, took like a week trip with my dad out to see a couple different places. And, you know, just being from Iowa, I just compared everything to Iowa. And, you know, with Coach Ferentz running the program there, I didn't think there was a better place for me. So,
I mean, you had offers from many, Nebraska, Michigan State, Ohio State, some decent schools there. Nothing too compelling to take you away from Iowa City.
No, I mean, I went and visited those places. It's just, it didn't feel like home to me, you know? Yeah.
It helps being
30 minutes away.
Yeah. It does.
It is your home.
It's a home. Yeah, I got to imagine. I mean, even for me, I grew up in Marshalltown. So, you know, an hour west of Cedar Rapids. So really not too far in the grand scheme of things. But even being closer, Cedar Rapids, Solon, Bo Bauer was one of my good buddies. He's from West Branch, North Liberty. Like, if you're really right there, I just can't imagine how easy it would be to, like, really go away from the black and gold. Like, I mean, seems like the dream.
They probably most likely grew up coming to games too. So you always wanted to be on the field and be one of those guys. And then
the
opportunity presents itself, you know, you have no other option.
Did you go to a lot of games growing up?
Yeah, I went to a couple, probably 10 or so just growing up.
And then, do you remember the first time walking into Kinnick?
Not really. I was like first grade.
I still remember. It was so cool to me, like coming off the concourse and you walk up the ramp and then like the field comes into view.
Mm-hmm.
And I still get goosebumps thinking about it. Like, it's, and then you get to like 10x that experience doing the swarm. Mm-hmm. It's like a real full circle moment. Do you remember your first swarm?
Kind of. I mean, I was told like that Friday before, you know, that I was going to be playing, and I'm like, there's no way I'm playing. And then it gets to game day and I'm like, oh, this might actually be happening right now, that I might have to go in the game.
Can you walk me through that? Because your story, similar to Mason and Els, you guys got so much early playing time. It feels like I'm beating a dead horse going over it, but like we've talked about it. Guys left, guys got hurt, guys had to medically retire, some guys just decided to stop playing. And all of a sudden in 2021, there's like a solid group of guys, you three specifically, and a few others that are like, oh wow, like kind of like you described, like we're the guys now, we're the only guys left.
Yeah.
Can you walk me through that?
Yeah. So I mean, my first spring ball, you know, coming in early, I think they started me at right tackle, and you know, coming from Kennedy, I never really took a pass set in my life before, so that was a big learning.
Did you guys run it a lot?
Oh yeah, we had Max White at quarterback.
I was going to say, Max was there.
He wasn't a thrower, so.
Oh, I wish we just had him on. I wish we would have had you first so I could have given him shit about that.
But, yeah, and then I think it was, you know, that little break right before camp. We would get, like, 3 days or something. And then I think Shooter broke his foot in those 3 days.
Oh, that's right.
And then I think we went into that camp. I started playing right guard more with the twos. And then, you know, went into the season, first three games, I was rotating. And then that fourth one, I started at right guard for my first time and stayed there the rest of the year.
That all had to happen pretty fast.
Oh, yeah, I had no clue what I was doing out on the field.
like you probably didn't even have time to really breathe, and all of a sudden you look up and I'm just a starting offensive lineman for the Iowa Hawkeyes now.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't have been starting, but I was, you know. It's just kind of how it went.
You knew a little bit. You say you didn't know anything. You obviously knew a little bit, or at least physically you were ready, close enough. You were in there for some reason.
Yeah, well, it helped having Lindy right next to me kind of telling me who to block.
He was pretty good.
Yeah, decent.
was there a lot of doubt on, like, were you did you go out there with a lack of confidence, or were you somewhat confident in your ability? Just looking back, you're like, I actually didn't know what I was doing, but I was trying.
Yeah, I think freshman year I was almost more confident than I was as a sophomore.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, you're just kind of riding the lightning at that point.
Sure. I mean, you get thrown in. By the way, first true freshman to start a offensive line spot since Wirfs in 17. So that's sort of the company you're in there.
We're not in the same company by any means.
Well, I mean, that's the last two to do it, you and him. Yeah. He's doing all right, too.
Mm-hmm.
And what? Oh, yeah. Just that's like, yeah, he's
got a decently sized contract. Yeah.
He's got all the money. He's got all of it. I just saw some stat that he like, I don't know if it was like a pressure rate or something. He's like less than 0.1% or something. He's ridiculous. All of a sudden you're starting. And do you remember, like, was it, what was even the goal of like freshman Connor Colby at that point? Because at that point in your career, you're fresh out of high school. High school football is easy,
yeah,
for guys like you, generally, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to say it was like every rep you ever played was just a breeze, but it's generally easy for a lot of Division I football players. Big fish, small pond. You get to Iowa, you're now playing like you're in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
What was the weekly goal? Like, how did you even process? There's so many things early on where you're like, I just need to be better at everything. How did you even attack that?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, coming in as a freshman, like every freshman has the goal, you know, to play.
Yeah.
But when I came in, obviously I had a fifth year senior ahead of me. I'm like, you know, this probably isn't going to happen. You know, he's going to have his senior year and, you know, I'll come in next year. And then we got injured. Then I was in. And then I think from like a week to week standpoint, my coach basically told me just, you know, make it to the bye week and then we'll regroup and keep going.
Hey, let's just get there, man. You know? Yeah. And that was Barnett's first year?
Yep.
So, Brant, like, first year offensive line coach has to throw in a true freshman because of injury and all this other stuff. Y'all were kind of scrambling a little bit.
Yeah.
And did you know that at the time, or at the time it was just like, all right, all like next man up? Because that next man mentality is super prevalent inside the complex. Like, that is a major thing in Iowa. And you physically had to, I mean, you were somewhat I remember when you came in, it was like, oh, this kid's he's kind of got the body for this already. You probably feel miles ahead of where you were then now. But like, physically, how did you feel on the field against guys that were 4 years older than you?
Yeah, I think just my biggest advantage was I was probably quicker than most of them, just because when I got to Iowa, I was 306. They had me lose weight down to 290. And then I played my freshman year at 298. So obviously, you know, I wasn't the size and near as strong as I am now.
Sure.
So I had to rely more on my speed more than anything.
So they recomped you a little bit when you got there.
Oh, yeah, I was 306 in all the worst ways.
I saw that a couple times. There's a couple. I fully understand that. I came in at like 206 in all the worst ways, if there is such a thing. Yeah. And I did a similar process. When you were being recruited, did you have any sense of like how that would go? Did they tell you about any of that, or they're like, hey, we'll just get you here and we'll work from there? Or did you know you were going to have to lose weight and then put it back on? Or
no, I didn't really have any of that. I mean, I committed before my junior year even started, so they couldn't have contact with me. before then. So it wasn't nothing. They weren't like selling the program. It was based off of, you know, what I thought of everything. And then once I committed, it was never, you know, talking about losing weight or anything.
You committed before your junior year.
Yeah.
You were like a Hawkeye through and through.
Yeah. You know, there's no point in wasting any more time.
I love that. Like, that is so, it's amazing. Obviously, as an alum, like, I'm like, fuck yeah. Like, yeah, let's go. Ohio State's a really good school, though. Like, they're really good at
looking for. Yeah. I mean, everyone's place is different.
And not only that, but when you commit that early, I think this happened with Aaron Graves a little bit, too. Because I think he committed as, like, a freshman or something stupid. And he was like, everybody stop talking. Like, nobody talked to me. I'm a Hawkeye. And it was one of the more sort of wild recruiting things I've ever seen coming out of a 15-year-old's, 16-year-old's mouth. I think Aaron is sort of known as being, like, a pretty mature and intellectual. Yeah. So he's sort of ahead of – he's smarter than me and all of us probably. But that was crazy to me because as a young kid – especially with someone with your talent, you are a 4-star. Aaron was a 4-star, but like when you commit that early, those services kind of just like lay off of you. Mm-hmm. And you kind of have the potential is if you're still in that recruiting cycle to be like, oh, Ohio State offers. Who knows if you're not committed to Iowa, who else comes around and is like, hey, you want to come play for us? I mean, you could have been like a 5-star. You could have been rated higher. I get the sense after 16 minutes of talking to you, you don't give a fuck about what those guys say.
No, not at all.
but like, where does that come from? Because a lot of high school, that's like the flash for a lot of high school kids. Like they want to get rated high. They want people to talk about them. They want all these offers. What was different about you that at like 16, 17 years old, you're like, nah, I'm committing and I'm good.
Well, I think my biggest thing was I didn't want to worry about going on like game day visits and all that other crap. I just, you know, wanted to play football, finish out my junior and senior year. I knew I was going to be able to graduate early. So, you know, just pour everything into that, get all my classes taken care of so I can go play at the next level.
So I said we had Max on. Grant, are you sensing there's some similarities here?
There's a little bit. I just thought that was just a great answer. I just want to play football. It's just the best answer to every question that for the next like 20 minutes, just want to play football.
And it feels like when we talked to Max, that was the same answer that we got from him. What's in the water there over at Kennedy? What's going on there? These guys, they don't care about anything but football. I just want to play. Get me in between the white lines.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, me and Max grew up playing together all the way through. I think, you know, just
it had to be tough for the opposing teams.
I mean, a little bit. I know like fourth and fifth grade, they like had to split the teams up.
What?
Because we had like too many kids go out, so they had to they divided
too many kids
for like I think it's like Metro Youth Football, but then you know, middle schools where we went to different middle schools, and then when we got to Kennedy, it's just playing football. I mean, that was the only sport I was good at. So
dominance.
What else did you do?
Well, I tried to play basketball. Played my sophomore year on the sophomore team. Could run up and down the court 3 or 4 times before I was gassed. Got to varsity my junior year, rode the bench. You know, I'm like, I'm done wasting time on this. I lost 20 pounds already this season.
So. You lose a lot of weight. Basketball, you just shed weight. I used to go through that as well. I would get fat through like high school football season. I remember my senior year, I was like 227 at the end of football season, and I got sick and played basketball season and was down to like 202.
It was wild. Yeah. And I'm not built to run up and down the court, so.
Did you play as a like a kid growing up? Were you ever on an AAU team or you just decided to go out and try it?
No. So I wrestled growing up all the way through like 6th grade.
Okay.
And then kind of got tall and skinny for a little bit, not too long. Played basketball in middle school.
Okay.
Was all right. I was just bigger than everyone else. So
sure. Yeah, that helps. Were you – when – you're 6'6 now?
Like 6'5, 6'6 after I go to the chiropractor.
There you go. Hang on the inversion table in the corner of the weight room.
Yeah.
When did you reach that height? Were you that height in like when you committed at sophomore, junior?
Yeah. So I think I was this height since like kind of 8th grade. I just grew like 3 inches over the summer.
That must be nice.
Six 8th grader.
I was just kind of filling out there. It's like,
this guy. I reached max height in 8th grade too. Same height I am.
Same here. Stayed at 5'8". Didn't get anywhere.
5'10" for me. 5'10" for me. Connor could have given us, we could all be 6 foot.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. So Ohio State, get out of here. Michigan State, get out of here. You become a Hawkeye. I guess for you being an early enrollee, it wasn't as bad as like, oh, I got here in July, June, July, and then all of a sudden I'm playing. So you at least had that spring to get acclimated to how to be a part of the program.
Yeah.
Did it feel like that was, did that help your transition even more of being ready to play that first year when you were called upon? Because you kind of got a lot of those freshmen that you probably had in your class that came in around camp or just before were still getting, like, they got to find their classes for the first time. They got to figure out how to live in the dorm room. You had already done that first semester. You feel like that was a leg up?
I think it helped a little bit. I know, like, my classes my freshman year, because it was still kind of like COVID.
Oh, true.
So they were online that first semester.
All of them?
Yeah.
God. Like
all online. So that was, I mean, that the only big adjustment was, you know, living in a dorm room and you got loud neighbors, but you kind of learn how to drown that out. So, or you just pound on the wall.
Did you, I suppose maybe you didn't because you came in the middle. Most guys live next to other football players, but you probably got stuck between.
Yeah, I think I was on like the second floor next to just some random people.
Nice. Just yeah. Partying all hours. You're trying to wake up for like a 5:45 lift.
Yeah. I mean, even in the summer, it wasn't that bad because, you know, it's just athletes in the summer.
Sure. Yeah. It's the best time.
But at the same time, I'm like also going to bed at like 8 because you got the first lift group at 6. And then, of course, I was probably hurt, so I had treatment at like 5:15. So waking up at like 4:30.
Oh, God. Yeah, maybe I know we've mentioned it at some point on this, but what Connor's saying there is like, if you are injured in any way and you have to get treatment, you got to get it before your workout or practice. And so it's early. It's real early. Like, that's tough. Why do you say I was probably hurt? Was that just like you always had nicks and bruises or what?
No, I think it was mostly because I was losing weight, but I didn't do it in like the healthy way.
Ah.
Like, I was more of like starving myself more than anything. I got down to 290 though, but then just kind of working back up.
Was 290 like the number they gave you? They're like, hey, once you get to 290, then we'll build you back up? Or
yeah, so you know how, like, when you first weigh in, you know, they take your, like, initial weight, and then you got, like, your optimum, and then your goal.
Sure, yeah.
I saw the goal was 290 straight from the start. I'm like, oh, this is going to be fun.
Wow.
Yeah.
So for a while, for a few weeks there, you were, or months, I don't know how long it took you, you were just constantly over.
Well, I think my optimum had to be, like, you know, like 302 to start, and then
sure.
Kind of worked it down
from there. All right. Man, that's crazy. So you just weren't eating that summer?
I mean, I'd eat, but not
like you wanted to.
I wanted, you know.
Yeah, it was one plate of Gray's instead of two.
Yeah, exactly. No cookies, okay. None of that.
Oh man, that's tough to walk by the end of that line and not grab cookies.
I wouldn't even look at it.
Yeah, it's smart. You look at it, you're toast.
Yeah.
So you guys go through 21. And do you finally, like, in the off season, get a chance to like look up and breathe and be like, okay, we're through that year. Like, what was that off season like? Do you remember that at all? Like, how?
I think it was just kind of finding guys, you know, and during spring ball to kind of fill in some spots more sure. Than anything.
Because that was the year you lost Lindy.
Yeah, so that was the first spring without him. So we're just trying to find guys to fill in. You know, obviously we thought we were better than we actually were that spring, and then you know. Reality hit that season. So
in 22,
yeah,
what expand on that? What does that mean for you? Reality hit.
I don't know. I think Mason kind of said it best, you know. We should all have been fired.
He did say that.
I mean, we were all aware of it. Like, we were aware that we sucked, but you know, we were just doing the best we could.
Okay, so that's, well, I was gonna say we all know that. Now, you read some people and you realize that there's some dummies out there who actually think you're not doing the best you can for some reason. Like, I don't, yeah. You know, Twitter gets crazy. The Cheeto fingers at home really like to, they think they know. They think that, I know this guy, Connor Colby. He's bagging out there. He's sandbagging. What is it like to, I mean, Mason was very sort of open and forthcoming with it. It was interesting to hear. I'm curious, in your words, what is it like to be in that situation where you know that it needs to be better, not just from yourself, but like the entire room? I sort of was a part of this in the specialist room for 1 year. We were bad, and like the whole team knew we were bad, and it was like, fuck, we need to get this together. Did you feel the pressure of that? Did you feel like, God, we got to get this thing to click? Or what was the daily process of that?
I mean, I think we all kind of knew, you know, we had to kind of figure our stuff out more than anything, you know, just being that we were all younger. And I think, you know, our O-line coach was great, you know, he'd always say, just trying to get the room back to where KF wants it. So I think just that, having the belief that we're all working towards something, you know, that we all wanted, you know, we're all there for the same reason, you know, to be the best that we can. And I think you saw obviously the worst year of it, sophomore year. And we kind of worked a little bit better. We were able to run the ball junior year. And I think our senior year, we did pretty well. So
I would say so. I would agree with that. Last year was pretty good. Joe Moore Award semifinalist. That means something. Ran for a shitload of yards. Shout out to Caleb Johnson. He was help for that.
I just had to get him on the second level.
Yeah. You get that guy any amount of space, and it feels like he can just disappear. Mm-hmm. That's got to feel good with him running behind you. Not just him, but like Jazz and Kamari too. Like kind of a dynamic backfield of guys there that is just like, you guys know that if you just give him a chance.
Yeah. And so it's great seeing him run down, you know, the field, no one behind him. That's a great feeling to have as an offensive lineman. Then, you know, you can kind of, you know, jog down to the field goal protection, you know, just come to the sideline, get some air after that.
Is that one of the best feelings? You just watch one of those guys just break loose, and you get to kind of just trot it down, celebrate, come off.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if there's another feeling like it. I know sometimes, you know, if you see a guy kind of has an angle on him, you're like, is he going to get caught or not? Like, should I sprint down there? Maybe. Or do I just keep jogging? You know, it's kind of one of those games, but there's no better feeling than watching him run down the field.
There's a couple clips of Lindy outrunning Tyler Goodson to get like a block. I remember one specifically. It was the COVID year in 2020, right before you came in, I think. He like outruns Goodson to the end zone. I don't even think anybody was there. I think he just ran with Tyler to the end zone. It was wild. I know Linderbaum is a different animal.
That's kind of, I think it's Caleb's long touchdown against Nebraska.
Yeah.
I almost caught up there.
Did you? Okay. All right. Shout out. Everybody stop the podcast. Go and search that clip. We'll see if we can find Connor running down.
It helps. He was running sideways here and there, but
sure. Yeah. There was a couple roadblocks in the way for him. Yeah. Linderbaum shot. Who else was older in the room when you got there?
Cody Entz.
Cody.
There's Justin Britt. I think he was Britt in his third year.
The way young guys develop a lot is by learning from the older guys. You kind of got thrown in without a whole lot of like time to do that. And then they were gone. And like you were the old guy. Like you didn't get a lot of – there wasn't 2 to 3 years of like learning how to be the guy before you were the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever think about that? It was like, and I'm not saying that in a sense of like you weren't capable of figuring it out, but there is value to getting to sit behind somebody for 2 or 3 years and watching how they watch film, how they break things down, how they think about schematically, you know, when you have to block this certain play, this certain guy, what's going through their head, their cues, how they practice, you know, all those things. And you just didn't get very much of that. Not only you, but Mason and Elle, like it was just quick for you guys. Do you think that had something to do with maybe developing a little slower in 21 and 22?
I think what you saw in 21 and 22, it's kind of just, I know everyone comes in with bad habits, you know, freshman,
sure,
sophomore year. You spend those years breaking those more than anything, you know, learning the fundamentals. And then I think, you know, coming into year two, you know, as a sophomore and being like, you know, I kind of have some of the most experience in this room right now. Yeah. It's kind of crazy to think about. But I think we were all still going through that growth phase while we were playing, instead of, you know, having a couple of years to just sit and, you know, keep hammering out all those little details. in order to see the finished product.
Did you ever out of the season think, I mean, this is a dumb question. I know the answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Did you ever like feel sorry for yourself, essentially? Like, you know, you're sitting there and it's like February and you're like in those 8 weeks before spring ball, the guys just went through it. Now they're in spring ball and you're like, man, like last year was rough. Like it would have been nice to get it. It would have been nice to get like a year to develop. And we were just tossed to the wolves a little bit. Like, did you ever have those thoughts or some like anything like that cross your mind, or it was just kind of,
no, I mean, there's really kind of no time to feel sorry for yourself. And you know, any of the years that we played, I think, obviously, you know, there's times, I think my sophomore year was like one of my worst ones, confidence wise, more than anything, just playing right tackle for a little bit. And then, you know, shuffling around to left guard. I think that was probably just everyone has confidence dips now and then. It's just kind of working through those.
Was the reason for that the variation? You're playing different positions and that you're having to worry about, you know, kind of two different spots. So that's why you couldn't find a groove. Is that the main reason?
I think I just kind of had a skewed perception of what it was like to actually play college football coming off, you know, a freshman year where I got a lot of playing time versus, you know, I thought I was better than I was, and, you know, it kind of,
sure,
kind of bit me in the ass a little bit. You know, I had to work through that and then kind of,
I think that happens to everybody.
Yeah. I mean, it's a normal thing. You just,
yeah,
I think people were able to see it more.
It was funny when Mason described you guys were sitting there like last year or something, and you were looking back on like one of those 21 or 22 games and you thought you played really well. Like, I think he said Wisconsin. And he's like, we thought we played good. And then mm-hmm. we went back and like, we actually played horrible.
Yeah. Like every time those, we'd always pull them up, you know, like a Friday, you know, when we're just waiting for the team meeting in the afternoon before we head to the hotel. We just like would pull up a random clip from like 22 that we thought we did well. And we're looking at it now like, this is terrible. Like we need to find a way to delete this.
We got to get this off the hard drives.
Yeah.
The matured eye that you have by the time you get to a junior, senior, you know, kind of the spot you are now is, there's not a lot other than time and experience that can get you there. It is really eye-opening. And I think you guys should be proud as hell about where you came, like where you came from and then where you made it to. It was probably no more satisfying than to you guys to like be able to go out this past year and run all over people after sort of the grind that you guys had been through.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a great feeling. But even this year, you know, we thought we weren't the best just because, you know, we'd see like 10 plays a game. They're like, if we, you know, ran our knees one more time, if we held onto our block 1 second longer, like another big one could have broke. I think those were the ones that were eating at us the most.
It's good to go from a place of we're trying to find anything that works, though, to a place of, man, we're getting a lot to work. What if we could have just got one more? Because I think when you get good or when you're finally like getting things to click, that mindset of, oh, but one more, is that's not a bad place to be. No matter how good you get, you could go to some team in the league, Connor, and you're probably always going to feel like you could get one more when you watch the tape, right? But you guys came a long way. It was fun to see. I mean, talking to Mason too, it was like he said, yeah, it was almost emotional at one point last year, kind of realizing how far you guys had come. And I'm sure it would be. Because like you said, I mean, he said, could have all been fired. Listen to a lot of people on the outside, including probably me a couple times. I probably said some dumb shit, like, we got to get these guys out of here.
I mean, you guys had every right to. So, I mean, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about that. Maybe us more than some people.
Opinion, so.
Sure. Yeah. I think KF has a quote he likes to say like that. they're not all great. Take a second here just before I forget to thank the sponsors on the bottom of the page here. Iowa Egg Council. I'm sure Connor ate a lot of eggs during college. You big egg guy?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, scrambled eggs. I used to be scrambled eggs, you know, freshman, sophomore year. Then
you evolved?
You know, I like them over hard now.
Really? Yeah. Over hard?
Yeah.
What was the first hard guess we've had?
Yeah, what made the switch? What changed?
I don't know. I just, you know, one day they were bringing them, so might as well try them.
You're like, hey, screw it, we'll go this way.
Hey, hot sauce makes everything better, so
I can get behind that as well.
How many eggs did Connor Colby eat in the last 4 years at Iowa? That could be like the trivia question. Were they actually like? Did you actually eat eggs like every day for like breakfast or something, or just whenever?
I tried to until, you know, like eating the same foods over and over again.
Yeah, it's tough.
So every once in a while, mix it up. Maybe if like Pete brought pancakes one day.
Oh yeah,
lay off the eggs. But
those refuel sandwiches in the morning.
Oh, nah, I can't get behind those anymore. First two years they were good. Last two, like every time I took a bite out of one, I wanted to throw up.
Oh,
I had to switch to the oatmeal.
I wish I could get one right now. I love those things.
There's probably some in the refuel fridge.
You're right. I could walk in right now to the facility and probably grab one out of there. Was there a moment? I guess maybe it probably wasn't 22. Was there a moment maybe in 23 or maybe in the off season going into 23 where you felt like you / the offensive line like as a unit were starting to gain a little ground? Like you started to feel like you were getting some of it, like this is working. Yeah,
I think, you know, there's, you know, certain moments throughout camp, you know, we're all blocking well, but, you know, at the same time, we're still trying to, you know, fight off those bad habits. I know for me personally, like, I didn't get my backside elbow in on a block until my senior year. So
I've heard that once or twice as a cue, yeah, for sure. So as I sat there and watched the old line drills,
yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes it takes a while for things to stick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it cool when you're doing offensive line drills and KF comes over and he's kind of like hovering?
Now he actually like gets hands on with the coaching. Like,
really?
During pass pro stuff, we'll like break up like guards and centers, and KF will take the tackles.
But, really?
Yeah.
I don't know if they did. They probably did, but I don't remember. That's kind of sick.
Yeah, I mean for the tackles. Yeah.
For the tackles.
Well, it was kind of a running joke because, you know, they do like, I don't know if I can tell everyone, but like they do like pass pro reps without their helmets on versus like full all out scout guys.
Yeah.
You know, helmets on, just.
Okay. Yeah, I think that rings a bell. That kind of rings a bell.
But, you know, it was a running joke because they called like the centers and guards like guard holla because we wouldn't do anything. We'd just kind of sit there and get some water while they're doing 20 minutes straight of pass, bro.
I love it. Is there anything you'll miss from practice with the offensive linemen as you move on from Iowa?
I think it's just like kind of giving shit to Coach Wallace like during practice.
Oh, yeah.
Because every once in a while you can get them riled up.
We actually – I don't know if you've ever heard any of our shows before. We're big Coach Wallace fans around here. Actually, I think I can pull up the – for anybody who wants a Goat Wallace t-shirt. Can you see that? It's real small on the screen there, Connor, but that is Coach Wallace's face superimposed onto a goat. We can send you one for sure. And anybody who wants one, please scan the QR code right there. It'll take you right to our website and you can buy it.
I just want to see his reaction when I walk in the facility with that on.
Oh, God. Colby, what the fuck are you wearing? Take that shit off. So shout out to the Iowa Egg Council. Forgot to mention the other one down there, Eagle Point Solar. Like you said, Grant, I can't see it. I almost probably do have to brighten that up.
That's what I was telling you. I was like, that's impossible to read. I'd be furious if I was Eagle Point Solar half of a graphic.
Well, I mean, there's a little extra with the logo on the screen. Eagle Point Solar, your all-in-one shop for the solar energy. I don't know. Someday when Connor buys a house with his NFL money, he can look into putting solar on that thing. It's funny, Grant. I drive around my neighborhood now, and I'm like, it's kind of – if you just open your eyes a little bit, it's kind of crazy how many houses or buildings have solar panels on. It's more than you think. There's like – I swear to God, down my road, just out to the main road here, it's four houses. There's not a lot of houses on this street that go out to the main house. Four houses on here and it's got solar.
Newer development too. It's going to be a lot of solar.
For sure. Talk to a lot of people on here. brought Brad on. He's got solar on his house. Just trying to harness the power of the sun. They are going to educate you. If you go to eaglepointsolar.com, you can do their solar analysis, send them your energy bills. They're going to tell you how much money you can save based on how much you're paying right now and how much you could be paying, run you through the whole investment, all that. Never know. Could be for you. What's another $25, $50, $75 a month in your pocket, right? Tough economy out there right now. I mean, the market bounced back today as we record this, but tough economy, right? Connor's about to, like I said, Connor's about to have that NFL contract.
I had to stop looking at the investments.
Are you an investment guy?
No, I don't do it. Someone else does it, but I can look at them.
But as a 23-year-old or 22-year-old, you do already have some money, and that's your head of the game there if you already have a guy that's got a little.
Well, it's better than just, you know, wasting all the NIL money.
Well, I guarantee that if we don't have to name names, but I'm sure offline we could talk about plenty of guys who are not doing well with their NIL money. And we had some guys during my time that would take their scholarship check straight to the bank, cash it, and it would be gone that weekend.
Yeah, I can think of a couple guys like that.
Yeah, sure, right? So just, you know, we want to stay smart with our money around here. Eagle Point Solar can help you do that. They bring you the sun. Iowa Ag Council, shout out to those guys for sponsoring the show this month. Where do I go from here? Grant, you got any questions that I brushed over in this story of Connor Colby that might chronologically make sense here?
I mean, I'm curious about some draft stuff, combine.
Well, yeah, we're getting
– kind of what I want to get to.
We're getting close. When is the draft?
A couple weeks.
2 weeks?
3 weeks? Somewhere in there.
Is this an exciting time for you?
Not really. I'm more – I wouldn't say I'm worried, but like kind of – I just want to know where I'm going more than anything.
So you got a little anxiety?
I wouldn't say that. I just, you know, like to find a place to live more than anything.
Want to play football.
Just want to play football.
Yeah, that's about it. Like, I went and watched spring practice yesterday. I don't know if I can do it again because I just want to hit someone. But
did you, as an offensive lineman, you're basically making contact every play.
Yeah.
I'm gonna zoom in on the hitting somebody portion of your job. Is that ever a thing that you've worried about? Like with all the concussion stuff and the CTE and all that stuff. Like nowadays, have you ever thought about like maybe I shouldn't do this? Or you're just like, nah, I like hitting people. I like playing football.
I mean, I've only had one concussion, and that was in second grade.
Second grade.
Yeah, tripped on my own shoelace, head first into a 4x4.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah, I had a big goose egg, but, you know, I was fine.
That set you up well. I mean, you were – after hitting a 4x4, you're probably good. No defensive lineman's going to top that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it is what it is.
But. I will say, though, we kind of skipped over in those first couple of years. Did you have a welcome to Big Ten, welcome to D1 football moment where you're like, fuck, I just got embarrassed?
No, I'd get embarrassed every day at practice my freshman year. Like, it was bad.
Just every day.
There was, like, another moment – you know, when the lineman first put on knee brace, you kind of have to learn how to run again.
Yeah.
So I was running off the field my first spring ball there. They caught face planted right in front of Coach Bell.
Just running off the field.
Yeah, yeah.
Click clacking.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't, I think, because those are mandated. They make you wear those, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. They make the lineman wear those, the offensive line. Yeah, those are, man, those are not cool.
I mean, the first year there, they suck, but then.
Did you ever have a play where you're like, wow, thank God I was wearing the knee braces?
Yeah. So it was like, I think it was spring ball before my junior year. One of the guys cleaned the pocket, you know, right into my knee. So it saved me from probably tearing everything.
Yeah. I watched several of those over my time, you know, just getting to in between long snapping, just sit there and watch like. Team period, and I'm just like several, because you guys sometimes you get rolled up on, something happens behind you, you get turned around,
like, driving your knees, get them out of the way,
bro. I mean, it's scary, dude. Like, it kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies. Like, I watching a knee go the wrong way is tough. So you're getting ready for this draft. It's like in a couple weeks. You've had to fill your time. Outside of working out, because working out lasts what, like 2-3 hours, maybe?
Maybe like an hour, 45 tops.
Yeah. And then you just go back to your, I mean, you were in Tampa, so wherever you were living there, apartment or whatever, you just go back and you're just thinking, I mean, you're just football all the time.
No, I mean, in Tampa, I think I'd have to leave my apartment at like 6:40 in the morning because I was staying in downtown Tampa.
Mm.
Like if I left at 7, it was going to take like 45 minutes to get to the place versus like 10. So, you know, I'd work out there. I think we'd start at like 8:30. Finish up, you know, with speed work, lifting, and then like O-line drills after, finish up around like 2.
Okay, so it was at least a little bit more scheduled out and you had stuff to do.
Yeah, I was there like all day.
Yeah.
Until like 4, then I'd head home.
Take you're like big into like recover, like cold tub, massage, any of that stuff down there, or just like?
Yeah, so they had I think it was like a cryo chamber type thing. There was like a whole thing we'd had to do before. And then after was just like getting whatever you need worked on. And then I'd always go sit in the cold tub for like 10 minutes. But
so the draft is in a couple weeks. You just want to know where you're going. How do you feel on the back end of your Iowa career now? You're like, you've gone through the couple years of like trial by fire. Have a good year plus, not just for you, but as O-line unit. You get some great tape out there. And now you're entering this draft process. Have you been – probably been talking to teams, like all that stuff.
Yeah, I've had a couple meetings.
How do you feel about how it's been going?
I think it's been going well. I mean, obviously, you know, they're going to find the clips where you didn't go do so well when you're in the meetings, but you just got to talk through those. But I think there's a lot more good ones than there are bad ones. So that's always good. I couldn't say that 3 years ago.
True. Yeah, true. I mean, there you go. Like, there's the positive in it. You're like, yeah, I've got. Let's look at the good stuff. Let's look at the positive. Do you feel like you can compete at the NFL level?
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's kind of where I thrive is in competition. So,
guy just wants to play football.
Just want to play football.
It's in the Kennedy water pipes. And something about that strength coach Max said over there is he's the best.
No, I don't think he's there anymore.
I think he might have said that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But evidently, you guys had a good guy over there.
Yeah, good guy. Not the best facilities, but made it work.
Well, he also mentioned how the derecho took out your entire school.
Yeah, I mean, there was a couple places where the roof was missing, but weight room looked fine.
Weight room was good. You could still go pump the iron.
It didn't have any windows in it, so.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, it was just in the basement. Couldn't do overhead press. Ceilings were too low.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's actually elite. That's like,
do you ever try anyway? Just burst through the ceiling so you feel super strong.
Just take out the tiles.
No, because it was all like concrete.
I was picturing a light.
Yeah, it wasn't like a drop ceiling. It wasn't that nice.
When you were, you played football. It was your dream to be a Hawkeye. You got to commit to the Hawkeyes. Was the NFL ever a part of that? Like, you know, you're in fifth grade and they're like, what do you want to do when you grow up? And you write it on your little assignment in fifth grade. It's like, I want to be in the NFL. Was that you? Like, was the NFL?
Yeah, that was me. Yeah.
So you've got a chance to like actually complete like the full dream here.
I mean, yeah, I got a chance to complete it, but you know, how long can I stay at that level more than anything?
Is the ideal world you just play until they tell you can't anymore and you're like a 15-year vet? Is that,
I mean,
is that
I'd like to retire on my terms if it comes to that. Sure. I mean, not everyone gets that in the NFL.
Yeah,
if I could, I would.
Grant, you got anything for him?
Yeah, so I'm curious, as you're doing like the combine draft processes, I like watching the clips back. Like, they'll usually release them like a year later with all the interviews and team meetings and stuff. Did you get any, you don't have to say what team, but did you get asked any like strange questions that maybe you weren't expecting? Like, I feel like, you know, this video, like Laporta getting asked some weird ones. What, do you remember any?
No, so I didn't have any like of the formal interviews.
You didn't have any? Okay.
So mine were all like the informal ones where they just take all you guys into a big room and, you know, all 32 teams are sitting there.
Oh.
And it's like you get 15 minutes a team. So it's kind of like speed dating at that point. They're all like teaching you how they ID fronts and, you know, installing like run plays and pass plays. And then they'll like quiz you on it at the end. And then, you know, by team like 12, 13, you start getting it all confused from the previous team more than anything.
Yeah, it feels like a ton of information for a very short period of time.
Yeah, you almost have to like remember it all for the test at the end, and then like immediately forget it because you're going to a different table.
That's wild.
Is it kind of a thing though, where they don't expect you to actually get all of it, and they're just kind of like, we'll just see what the most you can get.
I mean, they probably don't expect us to get everything, you know, but I was trying to get everything.
Well, of course, yeah. No, you want to, it's basically a job interview. You want to do
it. Yeah, so if you got something wrong, they kind of help you through it until you know, the term came back to you, but.
Yeah. And then also, I just like to ask all linemen, do you like run or pass? Which one gets you more excited?
I like run blocking more than anything.
Run blocking more.
There's nothing better than like an Oki front, and I get to block down on the nose, and I just get to take his hip out.
Dude, you have the best just offensive lineman answers for every single question that could be asked here. I did
What do you like to do? I just like to fucking drive people.
I just like to run through people's faces, man.
Is there a brick wall? I'd love to fucking eat it, man. Just let me.
I did look it up. By the way, you were right. You almost caught Caleb. I'm gonna pull up the photo of it. I did a little photo.
I was close.
I did a little photo finish. I thought you might have been just saying things. You were not kidding. I'm gonna pull it up here real quick as well.
Do you have any I've asked people. Oh, look at that.
There's 77 right there.
Oh, look at that. Next guy's got speed.
Yeah. I didn't have enough gas in the tank for the last about 20, but
hey, dude, I mean, what, you're 5 yards away?
You're
first to the end zone besides him.
What a moment. I was trying to be there. Maybe it was that play. Are there any plays in your career that, you know, you're 5-10 years from now, you've got a wife and kids, and like you're looking at someone's like, hey, what do you remember about being a Hawkeye? Like, what's going to stick with you play wise, moment wise, from your playing days at Iowa?
I think like the biggest thing would probably be, you know, like if we ever got into like a run the ball situation, we'd call like 6 counters. I know there was a stretch, I think my junior year against Michigan State, ran like 6 counters in a row. I think that's my favorite part, because I was pulling on all of them.
And they're just telling you, like, hey, keep again.
Yeah, I wasn't, like, that whole game, like, I didn't play. I didn't start that game because my back was locked up, and I had some stuff going on with stingers. And then Nick hurt his elbow, and then I just came running in off the sideline, and then 6 counters in a row.
Oh, God. That's unbelievable. Did you ever was it 19? It was when Stanley was the quarterback. We ran like 3 or 4 QB sneaks in a row against USC.
Yeah, I love QB sneaks. That was fun.
Yeah, that was like one of the all-time like fuck yous to the defense that we've ever done. It's just like, stop it. We're going to keep running it. Stop it. You just stop it.
I remember watching it, yeah.
It's the best. It's the, like, Iowa football, that's – we got Mark Gronowski now, or maybe I've heard Sully's going off in spring ball too. Like we got to get back to that where we're just running 4 sneaks. And I know we had Lindy at the time, which helped. It helps when you have.
Somehow he'd always like end up on his feet though. Like I didn't get that. He'd somehow come out just running.
It's because he's the most, other than maybe Tristan, he's like so dumb athletic for how big he is. I mean, he is short. For lineman wise, but like,
yeah, he's running off, you know, 10 yards down the field, still blocking people. I'm just laying at the bottom of the pile.
Is there anything that you take, like, as a older guy in the room when you got there, now a guy that's in the league and succeeding at an exceptionally high level? Is there anything that, like, you take away from him or, like, try to glean from his game to make your own game better?
I think it's just, you know, all the off the field stuff more than anything. Like you get to see how they operated. I know I did my freshman year when he was still there, just how serious he took stuff and the way he practiced and all that. I think that's a big thing that's helped me out along, you know, my playing career.
Yeah. Can you talk about Coach Barnett?
Yeah, he's a great guy. I mean, I love him as an offensive line coach. You know, he's always there for you no matter what.
I feel like in this time period of you guys, you know, that we kind of broke down there as you guys, you're trying to fix bad habits and you are having to do it while starting, and it's you and Els, all you guys are thrown in the fire. Man, Barnett took a lot of heat. He took a lot of heat from the outside. Like, this guy can't develop offensive linemen. And come to find out, like, maybe he was given a situation that probably wasn't the best starting point when he came in, and I was unsure from the outside because, you know, we're not there. I always like to give players and coaches the benefit of doubt coming from that, you know, coming from the inside. And I just, like, I'm like, what I always come back to is, if Coach Ferentz has this guy on his staff, like, he knows what he's doing. And turns out, like, it was everybody figuring stuff out. And from what I've heard, like, he's just an awesome dude. Like,
yeah, he's a great coach, great guy. I think he's from the same coaching tree that Coach Ferentz is kind of from.
Yeah.
With Joe Moore. So, you know, there's nothing better than an offensive line coach learning from Joe Moore.
So. I mean, I feel like you're maybe the way that you talk about and smile just slightly when you talk about just offensive line and playing football, you might just be in that lineage someday. You ever want to go into coaching?
I mean, if the opportunity presents itself, you know, if not, I'll just find something to do.
I was going to say, what was your major in college? Is there something after football that Connor Colby wants to do in life? Or?
My major was sports and rec management.
Okay, so there you go.
It was football.
That's a football coach.
Yep.
Didn't come here to play school, man.
I passed. I got B's. That was good enough.
Absolutely. Yeah, oh, dude, you're talking my language. I absolutely.
Staying eligible.
Absolutely. Yes. Grant, anything else for the man here?
No, not a ton. I guess we should ask you too. Are you excited to be a Denver Bronco coming up here? Are you looking forward to that? I got some. I'm from Colorado. I could give you some recommendations where to live.
Hey, that'd be perfect. You know, if I end up there, definitely hit you up.
Yeah, dude.
Maybe a good place to eat.
I know. I always want all of. Anyone who donned the black and gold in college, I root for you guys in college, but or in the NFL, but especially, you know, like guys like Riley, like you end up
just a little bit more.
It's time to come home. You know, home to Colorado.
Connor would look good in those orange alt unis, Grant.
Oh, the throwbacks. Well, hey, and you'd be coming at a good time. They're supposed to be wearing them more this year. they've been hearing the complaints that they don't wear them enough. So,
isn't there a away uniform like all white though?
Yeah, we don't worry about those. Though. Hey, we don't worry about
that. That's not my friend.
Yeah.
What? Hey, well, the NFL. This is the spoiler. There's going to be a lot of white. You're probably going to have to wear white at some
point. I remember wearing the white Iowa jerseys. Just seeing you the next day on film, you're like, I need to lose a couple pounds.
That is not flattering, man. Yeah.
Suppose you get the home black. You're like, I'm looking slim.
Yeah,
I'm looking good.
Even in black jersey, black pants. You're like, I'm looking pretty good.
Those, the all black alts. You're like, let's wear more. The line is asking for those. They're like, let's wear these all the time.
So then, is it like a sneaky? Then every lineman's like, okay, so we got the Steelers, we got the Ravens, all black. You know, like
Texans are a dark uniform.
Oh yeah, they got a dark one. You don't want to be concerned about like, oh, Browns, neon orange. I don't know, that could, or neon brown. That could be tough. Tough look.
Go to the Dolphins and wear that teal.
Hey, I like the teal.
I feel like it'd still be better than white though.
It's probably, everything's probably better than white.
I mean, I don't really care. You know, I know I look like shit. Like, that's fine. But like, when you have to watch it on film, it's like, ugh.
Hey, look better when you're crushing someone though on the field. Yeah. It'll look better then.
I have a question, one more that I just remembered. What is Max White like as a teammate?
I mean, he's a great teammate. You know, he's one of the best ones. And obviously, he's in the portal now. He's going to find a good home somewhere. But, you know, I mean, he was leading the speeches pregame. Like, when we're all on the field, he's just one of those guys, you know.
Energy guy.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Love to hear it. Connor, thank you so much for giving us your time tonight, man.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
We appreciate it.
It was a great time.
Yeah. Everybody, thank you for listening to Connor and our conversation. Shout out to Iowa Ag Council, Eagle Point Solar, for doing the thing. We'll be back again soon. Grant and I are going to get Kevin to come to one of these podcasts eventually, and we're going to draft. And Grant gave me the we're going to alter it a little bit. We were going to just draft our time period, but we're going to do – I think what we do, Grant, is we do the 2010s. We draft the 2010s. And then we'll go back and we'll do the 2000s as well. We could do a couple episodes out of that. But that'll be coming up here shortly. Got a couple more guests coming up. Episode 600 coming up as well. We got to get, you know, some all-time guy on here for that. But thank you for tuning in as always. We will see you next time. Until then, peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.